Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week three of our sermon series called One Another, where what we're doing is getting into how we're being called not to other, but to one another. Or to be the kind of people who really do strive to love everyone we encounter instead of being the kind of people who are all about setting up walls and fighting against all of those people who are different, which is the easiest thing to do. And the way I've tried to help you to see all of this was by taking the command that Jesus gives all of his disciples to love one another as I have loved you, and showing you that in many of the other one another passages that we find throughout the rest of the New Testament, what's going on is, in a sense, in these scriptures, they are taking Jesus' general command to love one another as I have loved you and showing us what that kind of love looks like lived out in the bump and grind of everyday life. So you're kind of going from the theoretical to the practical when we jump into these, which means what we've learned so far about what it looks like to love one another is not to slander or to judge, but instead to let go and let God do what only God is qualified to do. But now that you have made those connections and to keep exploring what it means to one another in even bigger ways, this morning we're going to be getting into how love also looks like kindness, compassion, encouragement, and building one another up. So to get into how love lived out looks like kindness and compassion, we turn to Ephesians 4:32, where Paul simply says this: be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. So in starting with this idea of kindness, as you all know, kindness, generally speaking, at least in our context, is basically defined as being nice to others. In that, nice and kind in our world are oftentimes words that are used synonymously to talk about the same thing. But the interesting thing I discovered when I began looking into the Greek word for kindness is that the kindness in their way of thinking is not just about being nice, although it's included in there, but it's more about being useful. Or maybe to get at the subtle difference, in our understanding, if there is someone who is going to Sonic and they just happen to pick you up one of those happy hour drinks, they're doing that of the kindness of their heart, right? They're being nice to you in that place. Well, what Paul says is that's not actually what kindness means in his world, right? To be kind, you actually have to go out and do something for someone in need. Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with being kind, and I think we could all be a little more kinder these days to each other, so I'm not throwing that out there, but that's not what that means in this place. And for me, what that puts into perspective is that just being nice to people as Christians is not enough. No, for Paul, being kind is being useful to people who really are in need. Or to make this practical, what kindness looks like for us as a church is when we receive a call from the care portal telling us about a need that a family has, we respond to that need, right? By supplying those bunk beds or that washer and dryer or that motorized wheelchair or the money they need to get their car fixed. When it comes to our partnership with the core community to help that organization that's all about giving people a hand up instead of just a handout, we show up once a quarter to provide a meal. For those in our community who are hungry, not only do we collect non-perishable food items, along with serving at the food bank the month of January, but thanks to the chair of our outreach committee, Lynn Sharman, along with a few other compassionate souls, we are now preparing and serving meals once a quarter at the homeless kitchen here in Great Bend. And even through our partnership with the Water 4 Foundation, right? As a church, for the last 7 years, we have given out of our abundance to provide life-saving water for thousands of people every single day. And not only are we doing that, but it helps also establish jobs for those people in that place. And then to think about this at an individual level, kindness looks like when one of your friends is dealing with a significant loss, you drop everything to show up and do what you can to help them in that place. It's when you see someone stranded on the side of the road, instead of just whizzing by and not thinking about it, maybe stop and see if you can help them get on their way. And it's even the case that what you do for a living by providing a service that fills people's needs, that too is a kindness. Or again, the kindness that Paul is calling us to live is not just about being nice. Although again, please be nicer to one another. But it's actually about being useful. How are you being useful to someone else? That's what kindness looks like. And yet in this verse, Paul doesn't just teach us to be kind to one another. He also teaches us that love lived out looks like compassion as well. Or again, Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Now, for me, to get at what Paul means when he uses the words compassion, what we have to do is break this down, break this word down into its different parts. With the prefix come, simply meaning with, and the word passion meaning to suffer. So when you put all that together, what we get out of the word compassion is to suffer with. That's what it means to have compassion. And the best way to get at what compassion looks like is to think about how when bad things are happening to the people closest to you, you're not just able to stand back and watch in a disconnected kind of way like it doesn't matter, but how in a sense you feel what they feel in that place. And parents, more than anyone else, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. Because when your children hurt, you can't help but hurt with them. And then even beyond that, I don't know about all of you, but as I continue to watch and hear news about those victims who are caught up in the midst of a war that they can't control, both in Ukraine and in Israel, my heart hurts for those people that actually live in a place where there's a possibility of death around every corner. I mean, can you imagine living in a place like that? So that's what it means to have compassion, to feel what other people feel. But the reason I think Paul calls us to be compassionate is not just to feel what other people feel and then do nothing about it. There's nothing good about that. But that as you're suffering with them, you are moved to do something to help, or you're moved to not only take their suffering, but your own suffering away because their suffering has become your suffering. And yet even with all of that, we're not done uncovering what it looks like to practice one anothering, because what we find as we turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:11 is how love also looks like encouraging and building one another up. Paul says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And of course, what Paul's getting at here is, first of all, as Christians, our job is not to discourage, but to encourage. Even though what you're going to hear from a whole lot of Christians these days is nothing but discouragement. And in a sense, what it means to encourage someone is to help fill them with courage. Think about the word. Encourage means you're putting courage into someone. Or to see this practically, let's just say you get a call from one of your friends who is having trouble with their teenager. Anybody know this place? So what it looks like to encourage them in that difficult place is, instead of coming in and telling them that it's only going to get worse, because it is, or that their child might just be the one who is beyond help. No, what encouragement looks like is you showing up and telling them that what they're experiencing is natural and normal, something that every parent of a teenager will have to face. But if they'll stick to their guns and keep being the loving parent they've always been, along with never giving up, even though that's what they want to do, that eventually, even though it will get worse before it gets better, not only will they get through this themselves, but their teenagers will also grow out of this phase, hopefully going on to live pretty incredible lives themselves. Right? That's what encouragement looks like. But even more than that, the probability is that your children are going to go on and have their own children, so they too will know what it's like to be a parent of a teenager, and then will eventually come back and apologize to you. How many of you have done this with your own parents? Anybody? Yeah. That's what it means. That's what it looks like to encourage, to fill someone with courage to face the things that they didn't think they could do. And yet, not only does Paul tell us to encourage one another, but he also adds that as Christians, we are being called not to tear people down, which again, is something Christians are really good at, but instead to build them up. And to get into what Paul's talking about here, the Greek word that gets translated as to build someone up is oikodomio, with oiko simply meaning a house and domio meaning to build. So literally what this word means is to build a house. But metaphorically, what this word means is, in the same way you build a house brick by brick, board by board, that is what we're being called to do for one another. And for me, what that looks like in the practical is how my mother and father, since the moment I was born, have always spoken words into my life, not to degrade or to tear me down, right, but to help me live in my potential. And the way they did that was because they believed in me more than I believed in myself, or because they saw potential in me when no one else did. They spoke encouraging words into my life every single day. Words like, hey, Josh, given your talent and your brains, all these things that God has given to you, you could go out and do something amazing with your life. Or, hey, Josh, if you'd quit being a lazy slug, maybe something good could come out of your life. Anybody have a conversation like that before? Right? But the most important thing they said to me over and over again was, hey, Josh, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. It doesn't matter if you succeed or fail. We're going to love you just the same. And when you do fall down, we're going to be right here to help you get back up, right? Or maybe to think about all of this in another way, and this should sound familiar to you because I use this all the time, but I think it's that important. You got to remember that words create worlds. Words aren't these things that don't matter, that don't have any power. In fact, words are some of the most powerful things in the universe, and the words you speak create people's worlds. So, if all you're speaking to someone that you're working for, your children, whatever it is discouragement, then what are you going to get from that person? Right? There's going to be brokenness. They're not going to know that they can go out and do great things because people have to believe they can do something before they ever do it. And where do they get that belief from? It's when you believe in them more than they believe in themselves. When you encourage, when you build people up. And yet, not only did my parents build me up by speaking good words into my life, which is so important, but then in concrete ways, they busted their tail week in and week out at their jobs. Their life would have been so much easier without three kids. Let's just be honest about that, right? To give me everything I'd ever need to go out and do something great with my life. Or in a sense, my parents, since the moment I was born, have gone about building me up brick by brick, board by board, in every part of my life, ultimately helping me become the man I am today. Well, that's what it looks like to build one another up. That's what God is calling us to do for one another. And not just on occasion when we feel like it, but every single day of our lives. So now that I've walked you through what it looks like to be kind and compassionate and encouraging, and what it also looks like to build up one another, to bring all of this together, what I hope you guys are now starting to see is that the kind of love that Jesus is calling us to live, the kind of love where he tells us to love one another as I have loved you, it's not this warm and fuzzy feeling that you have for others. It has nothing to do with the feeling and everything to do with how you choose to live your life every single day. It's a choice that you make to offer kindness and compassion and encouragement and building one another up. It's a choice. And if you don't feel it, great. You're not supposed to feel it. It's not about the warm and fuzzy. It's about choosing to live our lives in a way that not only helps other people, but it helps us, and in turn helps the entire world. But to really help you guys move beyond just knowing this, but actually getting it in and living it out on a day-to-day basis, what I want you to do sometime this week is, instead of just going about your life like you normally do, you know, you've forgotten the sermon, don't remember anything, I want you to remember the sermon and take a moment during your day and examine to see if you really are loving others in this kind of way. Are you showing compassion and kindness? Are you taking time to build each other up, offer encouragement? Or are you doing something completely different? Because remember what Jesus says at the very end of his command to love one another as I have loved you. How will they know us? What are we supposed to be known for as Christians? And we're not. They will know we are Christians because of our love. So again, I ask you, what are you known for? How are you choosing to live your life day in and day out? Because I promise you, if you'll live in this way, not only will it make your life better, but it will change the world. Because when you share that love, right, that kindness, compassion, all of that stuff, not only are you sharing your love, but that might be the only Jesus some people ever encounter in their entire lives. Right? Where they find Jesus is in you and how you love. That's how big a deal it is. And that's why Jesus gives us the command to love one another as I have loved you. Let us pray. Father, as we continue this series, it is my hope that we're all beginning to see that one anothering is not the way, othering is not the way. We're not being called to be a people who set up boundaries and define who's out and who's in, but instead are being called to be the kind of people who love even those that we don't like. And to be the kind of people who truly are known, not for our jobs, not for being an old curmudgeon, not for being so many things, but we're supposed to be known by our love. So help us, Lord, actually go out and live that. To actually go out and offer kindness and compassion. Not to be judgmental or to speak slander. But to just love others as you have loved us. Lord, we ask this all in your name and for our sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless, and have a great week.